Hello and welcome to Micro Stakes Poker number 3 from the Besotted Geek. I am said Besotted Geek Stork. And today we're going to talk a little bit about site selection and bankroll. And look, I really, really can't wait to get into strategy of play and things like that. But I just feel like I'd be remiss not discussing where to play and everything that goes into that, including which I'll get into, what site to pick, how much money you should have to put in, and even a little bit of changing stakes based on how much money you have. I think I'll cover that a little deeper later, but I'll touch on it here. So the first thing you're going to need to do before you play poker online is figure out where you want to play poker online. I live in a state where this has been, a relatively recent occurrence. Don't quote me on that because I didn't even look into it for a while. But yeah, once they killed online poker back in the day, it was a while before you could play online. Unless you lived in Vegas or Nevada and New Jersey, they still let you play online since they could, you know, they just allowed gambling in general. I don't know in those states if you can play in more of a global online setting. The ones I have access to, being in Pennsylvania, are really affiliated with the state. Now, there are some interstate tendencies, but even those, like I play on PokerStars, I'll just come out and say that. There are PokerStars in other states, but I only play against other people in my state on PokerStars. So it's a very limited pool of players, and also the time frame when people are playing. You're not going to find people playing when I wake up in the morning at like 5 a.m. Usually it takes until around 7 a.m., 7:30 before some tables start to open up. I don't know how late it goes because I never play at night. I would assume they might go kind of late, but I would also assume that past midnight, 2 in the morning at the latest, it probably isn't hard to find a game. So that's kind of limiting. You're going to have to do some homework on this one because I don't know where you live and I'm not going to hold your hand throughout all this. Sorry. But just hop on the old Google and see if your state or if your international, see if your country allows online play, because this is the only place you're going to find micro stakes. The lowest stakes you'll find live play is $1, $2 blinds. So that would be a no limit $200, which means you're buying in for a maximum usually of 200, but I think a minimum will probably be like around 40, 50. Now, the thing about live play, I've heard that it's easier than even micro stakes as far as finding worse players to play against. I just feel like if you're a true beginner, that's a lot of money to put up front to learn poker, because you're going to be learning as you play. I'm going to help, I hope. That's the goal of this. But you're also going to learn on your own while you play, and why not learn at the lowest stakes possible, which would be micro stakes online, which would be putting in a 1 cent, 2 cent big blind, small blind, and a $2 maximum buy-in. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I recommend if you're just starting, especially. And if you're playing against better players, that's not optimal as far as winning, but you're going to find enough bad players as well. And it will serve you in the long run to play against people who are not totally incompetent. Of course, that's not going to help you win money, like I said, but it will make you a better player. And then if you do decide to go into live play, you should probably mop up from what I hear. I don't know. There's just so many things I like about online that you don't find in live play, namely the stakes. It's very minimal. You have to treat it. You can't treat it like $2, though. Whenever you buy into a $2 no-limit game, treat that with respect. That is your money, and you're out there to make more of it and steal other people's money legally through gambling, of course. But that's your goal. So I know $2 is like, what do you get for? You can't even get a coffee for $2 anymore, can you? I don't know, a lottery ticket, I guess. But you have to treat it like that is your, I mean, it is, it's your money. You don't want to throw it away, and you have to respect it. And when you're playing in these stakes, I actually don't have trouble with this. You have to just go about it with a mindset of, this is what I have, and I'm using this to take more from other people. And you have to respect it, even though in the back of your head, yeah, it's 1 cent, 2 cent blinds, and $2 buy-in. It's nothing. But you can't think that way, or you'll just play sloppy. Now, I'm going to set guidelines moving forward that should help you pass that mindset, should focus you especially on what cards you play to start with, which is a big stepping stone. A lot of people play way too many hands. I have some ranges that I can talk about that will narrow down how many hands you play, and you'll automatically have an advantage, because a lot of people don't have a good starting range, whether it's way too many hands or way too few hands or not raising enough or whatever. Again, this is the stuff I can't wait to get into, but let's stick to the topic at hand here, Stork. So, things to consider when picking a site. I've got a few. First off, above all else, is just the reputation of the site. Can you trust them with your money? So you want a reputable site. You want to look into that and see how they're rated. Of course, you can Google this. You're going to be Googling to see what sites you can even play on. But then past that, you have to look into these sites closer. Again, I use PokerStars. It's a very reputable site. But there are more. And you might not have access to that one where you live. So you just find what ones are available. They usually rank them on several poker sites and things like that. So yeah, just look into that and do your homework. Again, the second thing I would look into is, do they allow HUD use? HUD is heads-up display, which I highly recommend having. It tells you the stats of people you're playing against, as well as your own stats, which is really handy for when you want to change speeds, by which I mean if you're playing too loose, you can tighten up. If you're playing too tight, you can loosen up. It's just a handy thing to have. It's kind of taking the place of, if you're not playing live, you can't get reads on people. This gives you reads on people, but so much more. So if you are playing on a site that doesn't allow any, you're starting on a level playing field, theoretically. Nobody has this advantage over anybody else. But you being new, everybody that's been playing there kind of already has an advantage over you, because they've been playing. Now, they might be bad. They might even be worse than you as a beginner. And hopefully if you follow some of the things I'm going to teach, I hate the word teach. I just don't feel like a teacher, but some of the things I'll discuss, let's say, and try and show you the things I'm using that seem to be working. If you follow those, you should have a leg up even on people who have been playing for a while, a lot of them. But going in as a new player to the online field, they will have played with other people. You're going to run into the same people a lot, I find, especially if you play at the same time every day, which a lot of people probably do, just because you have an hour here or an hour there, and that's when you play, and that's when everybody else plays that you run into at that time frame. So they know the tendencies of other people, even if they don't have a written handout or a written screen in front of them, which was what a HUD does. They will just, after you play a while, you'll intuitively know. And you can usually tag people with notes or colors online. So you can have like a little system. If you know somebody plays way too many hands, you can tag that or color that for a, and then just have that in your head. Like blue means they play way too many hands, they're a fish. And green means they're a good player, and red means they're really tight. I use some of these colors. That's why I went to those. But in addition to that, I do use a HUD. I would say, if possible, to seek out ones that do allow HUDs, because A, just because they allow it doesn't mean everyone is using it. So immediately, you kind of have a bit of an advantage over people who don't. So that'll help. And B, it just helps with so much of the things that I'm going to discuss in the future. And knowing exactly people's tendencies in certain situations, it's going to help you. And guess what? If you're on a site that allows it and you don't have one, people will have one and use it against you. So yeah, I would highly recommend HUDs and finding sites to allow them. They're not free. Another thing also, you have to be dedicated to playing on a desktop, because there's not an app HUD, as far as I know. So, but that's another good thing for you, because people will play, if the sites have apps, a lot of them do, they will play on their phone or their tablet, and they can't use a HUD. So if you are dedicated enough to sit down at a computer at an actual desk, even a laptop, I think you can get a HUD. So that would work. You're going to have a leg up. The final thing I'll say is to consider putting money into multiple sites. So this is something I didn't think of right away, but something I have thought about since. I feel like I'm too far gone at this point, but this is something I would say to think about. If you have extra money, consider multiple sites. If you find a few good ones, I would say put a little bit in a few, because that will just let you have more tables to look at as far as finding a good one, by which I mean bad players. Sometimes table or site A might be tough at certain points of the day, but site B is easy, so you could go there. Or maybe it's just full on site C, so you go back to site A and you can actually get on a table. Things like that. It just gives you more options. So I would consider using multiple sites. And I'll get into bankroll in a minute, and you don't have to put a lot of money in. So don't be afraid of like, man, I can't put $200 in this site, $200 in that site, $200 in another site. I just can't. You don't have to put that much in. We'll get there. One little bonus tip I would say when you're signing up for a site and putting your money in, just be aware of hidden fees. This one got me. I thought I could just put $100 in with my credit card. I think I used a credit card, maybe PayPal. I don't know, but I got charged $7 out of nowhere that I'm sure is somewhere, but I didn't know. I just thought I was putting money in. And that was kind of like a little shock to the system. It doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're playing 1 cent, 2 cent, that's 3.5 buy-ins. So it kind of sucked. So just something to think of. All right, so that's site selection. Again, if you have any questions about this, or maybe you just don't know how to find a site, I can try and help. Just shoot me an email, besottedgeek@gmail.com. Apologies if there's a leaf blower going off. I thought they were done. They've been going at it for like 2 hours today, but here we go again. All right, appears to have passed the leaf blowing saga. Let's move on to bankroll. Of course, as much as you can set aside strictly for poker, the better. But you don't have to go crazy. If you've got extra money, I would invest that, as I said, in a HUD, which is probably going to run you between, I think I use, I'll just tell you, I use Hold'em Manager. And that costs about $40 or $50 upfront with then a $30 annual fee, something like that. Seems like a lot, especially when you're playing at micro stakes. And there are different levels. I just bought micro stakes, which I think goes the whole way to, 1, 2 or 5, 10 or something like that. Dollars, not cents. So once I get to that level, hopefully, I will have to re-up and buy the next one. I just wasn't ready to start with the high level one, which would include everything, which I think was like $100. I wanted to focus on the small stuff and buy the small one and make sure I was serious about this whole poker thing. So again, if you have extra money, get one of those, especially if you're using a site that uses them. You can get books. If you need recommendations, I can try and point you in some. I don't have current books, but I do have some recommendations for sites and podcasts, and some of them are pay. So I might do a podcast episode on that. Some of my recommendations, things I listen to or watch or read. So there's that. And you can look into books. Again, look into books that focus on what you're playing, though. Don't go out and look. I have Doyle Brunson's book from the 70s. That's pretty much, I'm not going to say garbage, but there are some good concepts in it still that still hold true, but it's just not relevant to what I'm playing right now. 1-2 micro stakes online. Yeah, playing No Limit Hold'em in the 70s and playing No Limit micro stakes in 2020, it's worlds apart at this point. So look into things that are pertinent to what you are playing is my best advice. Especially even podcasts, and there's not a lot of good micro stakes podcasts. I'll be honest. You can find some videos, you can find some sites and things like that. I've looked into, I've read things from. Again, I can recommend those. But there are better uses for money than just dumping it all into a bunch of sites. It's good to have a big bankroll, but you should be almost limiting yourself when you start, which sounds odd. But you should be starting at 1 cent, 2 cent anyways. So you don't have to put a ton of money into a site to play 1 cent, 2 cent. Your buy-ins are $2. So my recommendation is to not go crazy putting in money and then playing at a low stake. But in the back of your head, you're like, well, I've got all this other money. I could easily be playing at this higher stake. I almost would recommend limiting yourself in that capacity. Force yourself to play the 1-2 cent until you get comfortable playing poker online and until your bankroll builds to the point where you can go up a level naturally. Don't just start at a higher level. Start at the lowest level. That's where you learn. That's where you learn and you'll lose the least amount of money you can. I started with $100 and I lost about $40 playing at stakes that I was just not suited to play at. So, I mean, I have built it back up over 100. I don't know where I'm at right now, 120 something. Yeah, playing mostly to no limit, which is the 1 cent, 2 cent game I keep talking about. It's doable. That's crazy. I've probably doubled my money playing 1 cent, 2 cent. And I don't play nearly enough. I do want to play more. I try and play an hour a day, but sometimes I play 2 hours a day. Sometimes I play no hours a day for stretches. November's been very miss for me. I had a guest for a week, and then I've just had things going on where I haven't been able to play when I like to play. So I have not played a lot. I would recommend playing the $2 no limit, like I've said, with a minimum of a $20 buy-in. I guess buy-in is the wrong word, as far as putting money into a site. So, and not 20, 20 buy-ins, I should say. So $40 at every site you join, minimum. Even if it's only one site, use your other money for that stuff I talked about earlier. Books, HUDs, things like that. More would be better, but I would say to max out at like 80. I want you to play 1 cent, 2 cent, no limit, until you get to $100. And then you can think about trying 2 cent, 5 cent. So if you only put 80 in, that forces you to win $20 on your own. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's fair. I think even if you put in 40, that's a tall order, but it's doable. I would say probably you want to lean more towards the $60 range. 60 to 80, I think, is a good range. I wouldn't go more than 80. I really wouldn't, because that will force you, like I said, to get up to $100 before you step up. And you have to have discipline. Poker is a lot about discipline, especially, again, with hand selection. You're going to sit there and you're going to fold hands a lot. The ranges I play vary between, 15% of all hands and 20% of all hands, usually, maybe average of 20%. You'll find people playing, honestly, I've seen people with stats that play 90% of hands, which is insane. Do you know how bad some of the hands they you have to play if you're playing 90%? I'm talking like 4-6 offsuit and craziness. It's nuts. But if you have the discipline to follow a set starting hand range, you're going to be playing hands better than them. So automatically you're going to have the odds in your favor. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is more strategy that I can't wait to discuss. But start with like 80 max. If you can do more, put more in another site and have two sites with 80. If you can't, at least 40. That'll give you 20 buy-ins, like I said earlier. You want to have at least 20 before you consider playing, because you're just going to run into bad hands from time to time. Even that might be a little on the low side. Like I said, I think 60 might be the happy middle ground there. But if you can do 80, do 80. If you can't do 60, do 40. If you can't do 40, don't play. There's my role right there. I just made it up. So you've got that goal of getting to $100, and then you can try 2 cent, 5 cent. And this will get your experience, and that's what you need before you move up. It gets harder. It honestly does. Some people just start at 2.5, and you will find bad players at every level that you play at, but gradually you'll find less of them. So you want to focus on winning and learning the game at the lowest amounts and then moving up. And then you kind of have to adjust, because you're going to be playing against better players, and focusing on the bad player at the table is key. And there will be usually one. If there's not one, it might be you. That's the saying. So if you can't find the bad player at the table, find another table. Even if you have to go down. If you're playing 2-5 and it's a tough game, and then you see a 1 cent table that's open and there's three fish at it, go to that table. Make easy money. There's nothing wrong with that. As an aside, if you do move up, just be prepared to drop back down if you lose a few buy-ins. I don't have a hard set line. I think I might use like, what is it, 3 or 5? I can't remember. If I move up and I lose 3 or 5 buy-ins at that level, I move back down until I build my bank back up, my bankroll, and then I give it another shot, and hopefully I can go deeper, and maybe even all the way until I'm ready to try the next level. And then if I'm there and I lose 3 buy-ins there or 5 buy-ins there, I drop back down. And maybe I lose all that again, and then I have to drop back down to 1 cent, 2 cent. Hey, it happens. But just be prepared to do a lot of moving up and down. It's not going to be, for most people, oh, wow, I just won X amount of dollars, I can move up. Now I've won all this more money, I can move up. Now I've won all this money. No, it just doesn't work that way. You'll probably move up and down several times. So just be prepared for that. And don't lose all your money at the highest level. That's why after you lose a few, you move back down because you're comfortable with that limit. You have to be. You won at it enough to move up. So move back down, readjust, remember how you played there, relearn, build the bankroll back up, and try it again. Give it another shot. I'll discuss that in the future more as well, as far as moving up and down. Because like I said, I don't think I have the exact number that I'm going with, not that it's set in stone. That might be more of a personal thing to do as far as when you want to move up and down, things like that. But I have something that I go with, and I'll impart that to you when I actually have it in front of me. Yeah, I'm just going off some notes that I took earlier without the benefit of having my cheat sheet, for lack of a better term, in front of me. Another thing, a little bonus tip I'll say for the bankroll management, unless it's an emergency, don't withdraw anything from your poker bankroll. This is separate from anything else, any other monies in your life. Treat it like that, especially at the micro stakes level. Again, if it's an emergency and you have to get money out, then take it and just take it all. You don't want to take out when you're at micro stakes. The goal of micro stakes is to move up to small stakes. There's reasons for this, chiefly the rake, which is the tax or whatever the interest kind of that they charge at the table is higher at the micro stakes. So basically, you'll be playing a pot and putting money in, and this is how the site makes money. They take a certain percentage out, and it's usually highest at the micro stakes level. So you want to get out of micro stakes as quickly as possible, reasonably as quickly as possible, after you've still, you have to learn how to play and things like that, and you should be still winning. You're going to make money to move up out of the micro stakes, but you are going to be losing money to the rake and at a much higher pace than you will as compared to higher stakes. So you want to leave the money in there. You don't want to take out until you're past micro limits, if you can. If you have to take it out, just wait until you're financially secure to go back into playing poker. Don't put in less than you should. Don't put in $20 and try and play poker just to play. It's going to affect your play. You're in the back of your head, you're going to know this is all I have for poker, and you're probably going to play timid, which is a bad way to play. And that's about it. That's all I've got for site selection and bankroll. I'm sure I'm missing things. If you've got any questions, again, let me know. Next time, I'm really going to try to get into some strategy. I really want to, unless something else basic pops in my head. This popped in my head like, well, of course you need to know how to find a site and about putting money in and things like that. I don't know if I got into how to put money in. I'm credit card, sometimes PayPal, I guess. Money orders even, I think you can do. I think that's site dependent. So that is going to depend on what site you have in your access to and what their rules are. So I can't really specify how that works. It's pretty, if you've paid for something online, it's kind of the same thing. But again, next time I'll try to get into some strategy. I can barely contain my excitement for it. I keep veering off into strategy discussions, and it'll be nice to actually talk about it. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with that discussion yet, but we will see. So maybe the five P's of poker. I don't know if I teased that before, but I might just start there because I could cover them quickly and then go into detail on five more episodes, and that might make for at least a month and a half of content that's easy for me. So we shall see, but thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at BesottedGeekPod. Email us, BesottedGeek@gmail.com. I do have a website, BesottedGeek.com, mostly cocktails and boozy recipes, if that's your bag. Store, tpublic.com/user/BesottedGeek. You can buy some merch. Support the show, patreon.com/BesottedGeek. I will probably be posting a lot of, anytime I use an image, things like that. I'm also considering doing hand histories via video, and that's where that'll go. Free to join. Anything that's public as far as shows like this, and I do a weekly show sometimes with my friend Otter, and I do a bar show. Those usually go up a day early for patrons, but then they're free on your regular podcast apps, and they can also be listened to on the Patreon for free. So also, that's where I'll, like I said, I'll post pictures and videos and things like that that I can't really put on an app as far as putting the podcast out on like iTunes. I am not including pictures with that. So yeah, something to think about because, again, that stuff will be free. All you have to do is join. I don't think you even have to put in credit card information anymore, which is nice because I would like to get people just to join the Patreon, even from a free capacity, just to have people there and seeing what we do over there. I also play video games sometimes, twitch.tv/BesottedGeek. I'm in the middle of a replay of Witcher 3 right now, but there's a lot of good games coming out soon that I look forward to playing. Spider-Man 2, Mario Wonder, maybe a couple more. So look for that, and that's about it for poker, micro stakes poker number 3. So thanks for listening, and good luck.